Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
It's sort of like in a 747. You're 32,000 feet off of the Earth's surface. You're traveling at 600 miles an hour, and you're looking around in economy class, and there's nothing happening in here. Yeah, try opening the door. Whoosh! Where'd that bugger go? I don't know. He was here just a minute ago. He's gone. See, there's tons happening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, A Season of Steadfastness, or as Pastor Wayne calls it, steadiness. There's something to be said about remaining steady. If you're ever tempted to quit and throw in the towel, today's message has your name written all over it. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Season of Steadfastness.
Would you take out your notes with me as we come to our final installment of our series called Life's Growing Seasons. We want to talk about seasons. Now, you know, some people say in Hawaii there's no season. You know, listen, doesn't matter if you live on the mainland or if you live in Hawaii, everybody goes through seasons. It might be physical seasons in the mainland where physically it changes temperature. But also here in Hawaii, you'll go through seasons. It could be a different kind of season, a season of adolescence, a season of singleness, a season of being a grandparent or a married couple, a season being a student or financially a little crunched, or a season of prosperity. We all go through seasons. And it's important for us to recognize those seasons so you cooperate with God's instructions in the midst of it. If you don't, you can really be in the right season and operate in the wrong way, and everything goes south at that point. Like a guy named Mano. Mano was in the middle of the summer, his scorching hot summer, and his wife comes to him one day and says, Mano, you've been laying around all summer long, all summer. You haven't done anything around the house. The house is in shambles, needs painting. Everything is bad. Maybe it's true what they say about you Portuguese. And she walks off, goes to work. He's mad. He jumps up. He says, that's it. I'm tired of people talking like that about us Portuguese that we love that. But so I'm gonna do something, make her really proud of me. So he went down to the city mill and bought a bunch of paint. He said, I'm gonna paint this house. When she come back, she's gonna find a new house and a new man. And so she comes home in the afternoon, scorching hot summer, and half the house is painted and there's paint everywhere. And she's looking around thinking, wow, maybe he really has changed. She can't find Mano. Finally, she goes around the back of the house. He's almost like, he's on the ground, hot and sweating, dehydrated, and he's got a jacket on in the middle of summer. And she said, Mano, honey, what's going on? He gets up out of this near coma. He says, how's the house? She said, fine, but what are you doing here in the middle of summer with a jacket on? I was reading the instruction. It said, for best results, use two coats. You got to know what season you're in. We want to talk about a season that every single one of us will be going through, have or will. And it's an incredibly important season. It's called a season of steadfastness, where you just stay steady. Some time ago, I had a call from a staff person said, Wayne, we need you to come and help. Our pastor just dropped out of sight. I said, what do you mean dropped out of sight? They don't just drop out of sight. Yeah, he just dropped out of sight. 12 years and he just said he can't handle it anymore and he's gone. He's gone. I mean, he's gone. I said, man, just like that, he left? He left. So I finally got a hold of this pastor and I knew something was wrong when he said, yeah, I really need to talk to you. I know God's called me, but I just really need help. And by the way, when you come, could you please come to my house because I don't want to be seen in public? I thought, whoa, something's bad. So I actually flew to the mainland, met with him at his home. After several hours of meeting, I said, is there anything wrong? Is there anything happening? Is there like a marriage problem? What's going on? He says, no. I said, is there anything happening? He said, that's my problem. I said, what? He said, nothing's happening. I said, what do you mean? He says, 12 years. I don't know if I can just keep doing this. Just keep doing it some more. It's every week. It's relentless. I don't know if I can do it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, in the beginning it was exciting and things were happening. I said, wait a minute. Your church is going strong. It's about 1,500 people. You're doing great. He said, I just don't feel anything's happening. I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And I thought, man, you know, as I was thinking about that, I thought, I bet the greatest tests sometime are not the tests of challenge. It's often the absence of any challenge. And that's a season of steadfastness that comes in. Would you read at the top of your notes together with me and using your strongest basso profundo voices? Let's read what Hebrews 10:36 says. Go. For you have need of, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Would you circle the word endurance? For you have need of endurance. You know, that's when a lot of people drop out. When it hits the season of just staying steady now for a while. Because see, it's fun when things are happening. And even sometimes, not always, but sometimes when you're challenged, you have people, especially in this church and other places, they'll come and they'll support you, they'll encourage you, they'll pray for you. Sure, they'll stay far enough away so that you're not smothered by them, but you know they're close enough that should you call, they would be there to help. There's a lot of support. But what happens when there's no challenge, nothing happening? It seems like nothing's going on. And it's at that time we drop out of marriages, ministries, relationships, because nothing's happening. But it just may be a season of just staying steady. See, at that point, we don't need spectacular things going on. We just need a long obedience in the same direction. Because there's certain qualities that are taking place and are being built feverishly by the Lord, but you can't see them. Because in seasons of steadfastness or steadiness, watch this. Here are the character qualities that are being built in you that no other season can build. Steadfastness, perseverance, something we call loyalty, faithfulness, long-suffering, patience. See, all those qualities are being built only in those seasons. You remove those seasons, you don't build those. And that's why we can't sustain the longevity of marriages or friendships or ministries or something goes, I'm out, and we're out the side door. And as I was talking to this pastor, he said, just nothing's happening. I said, there's tons happening in you right now, tons that you can't even see. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. I said, listen, it's sort of like in a 747. You're 32,000 feet off of the earth's surface. You're traveling at 600 miles an hour and you're looking around in economy class and there's nothing happening in here. Yeah, try opening the door. Whoosh. Where'd that bugger go? I don't know. He was here just a minute ago. He's gone. Yeah, see, there's tons happening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just a few weeks ago, we did a 32-mile race with paddling. And I'm just a novice paddler. And the coaches have taught. So it's starting to pack up and it's starting to be applied. And at the 32 miles, that's a long race and takes about 5 hours. And so when the race starts, it's kind of fun because everybody's bustling and there's boats together. You're banging hulls and amas and everybody's trying to catch that right current and that correct line. And there's a lot of excitement. You're fueled by adrenaline, pure adrenaline. But after you get going, you know, the boats sort of spread out a while. And after about 14 miles, it's like you're the only one on the ocean because all the other boats are so spread out. You can hardly see them. They're taking different courses. And now, even though it's 14 miles into the race and you're a bit fatigued, you have 18 miles left to go all alone. And it's a season of just staying steady. And when you're a bit fatigued, you have to remember everything that the coaches taught you about the reach, about the plant of your blade, about the pull, about the rest, returning it, about the position of your body, where your head should be looking, how to switch and move to the other side without breaking rhythm. All the basics you have to execute as best you can, and you just execute them one stroke at a time, and you stay the long course of 18 miles doing that. And it's in that period of steadiness is where winners are made or lost. A season of steadiness. Everything that you've learned, everything that the coaches have taught you has to be put into perfect execution again and again and again and again for 18 miles. You see, that's That's in these seasons of steadfastness. That's what the Lord is doing in us. All that he's taught us, we begin to practice. And in the practicing of it, you start to build depth. Oh, write in your notes right there. Would you write down often, the greatest test is not challenge, it's often the absence of it. It's when you need to stay steady. It happens in a marriage. Nothing's happening in this marriage. The Lord's saying, I'm about to build in you some depth and some faithfulness and some integrity and some foresight that will not be built in any other season except that you stay steady in this. Stay steady. Let's read what it says in James. Go. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, what produces? Yeah, there it is. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking. Life's growing seasons all have purposes to them. And even though you can't see it, one of the most challenging is a season of steadiness or steadfastness. Often people ask me, Wayne, who is it that influenced your life the most? And they're often waiting for a well-known name or an off-spoke name that everyone could recognize. But I think, you know, the one that really, one of the many, and many of them indeed have influenced my life, but one of the ones that influenced my life, I say, is a man named Dick Cook. Dick Cook, they say. Did he write any books? No. Did he publish any magazine article? No. Did he pastor a big old church? No. Did he do anything like spectacular? No. And why did he influence your life? Dick Cook was a pastor that pastored three little teeny churches in eastern Oregon, heard me speak at a youth rally when I was 24, and asked me to speak at these churches. Now, what he would do, it'd be he was a circuit preacher. He lived in a little teeny town. He'd do a church at 8 o'clock in the morning, drive now 2.5 hours to the next one, speak at the other one around noon, have lunch with them, and drive another 2.5 hours to the next church because they're in this huge desert region. And then at night, he would then drive home. And each of them were about 20-some people is all in each of these churches, just farmers and ranchers and simple people, but he loved them immensely. And I went over to his house, no hotel in that little town, so I just slept there at his house. And the next morning, he dressed in his polyester suit, Wranglers, got into his Maverick car. You remember Maverick cars, Mavericks? Yeah, it's beyond my time. I'm younger, so I don't know those. But and his muffler would be held together with baling wire, and it would talk back to you when you stepped on the gas. And we would get in his car and drive to the first. You know, when I got to the first one, I noticed how the people loved him and how he had such a genuine heart of humility. He went to the second one, and it was like no problem. People are very simple, very humble people, but they were like the most important people to him in the world. And the food was just a simple kind of grub that ranchers or farmers would have, and it was like to him a feast, and he was so thankful. And I watched him, and I thought, wow, there's qualities that are so far above me that he has. We went to the third church, and I spoke, and the people listened to him more during his announcements than they would to me in my message and sermon. There was a sparkle about his life. And I watched just the connection that he had with the wonderful people there. And I thought, oh God, I need that. I was only 24 years old, wet behind the ears, young upstart. And on the long drive home, having to speak above the rush of the wind going by the car because it was non-air conditioned. And we're driving in the still night. How long you been doing this, Brother Cook? I used to call him Brother Cook. How long you been doing this? Oh, 18 years. 18 years. 18 years, he said. I said, did you ever get any like desire to just quit sometime? He said, well, usually every Monday. I said, you've been doing this 18 years. There's just something about your life that I would love to have inputted into me. If you could, Brother Cook, if you could take all of the 18 years of lessons, 18 years of experience, and coalesce it into, concentrate it into, put it into, gel it into one phrase that would really help this young upstart. I'd just gotten married. And I said, and I'm just starting in ministry and I'm looking to a future in front of me. One thing that you could tell me that would just like really just gonna be the key. One thing. And he said, one thing. I said, yeah, one thing. And I'm waiting in, with bated breath for this Shakespearean eloquence to flow and drip from his lips. Years of wisdom, they would transform the soul of this young upstart. So I said, one thing. I was thinking, man, come on, tell me. Newly married, upstart, just starting, a life in front of me. What is it? He looked at me and he said, in the middle of this, going down the side road, dust behind us. He said, here it is. I said, okay, I'm ready, boy. He shook his head like this and he said, stick with your wife. No, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But really, it wasn't marriage counseling. What he was saying was stay steady. What God has called you to do, there's going to be seasons where you'll want to bail out every Monday. Stay steady. Just stay steady because there's a depth of character qualities that will not be built in any other season of your life than in this season called a season of steadfastness. When you think nothing's happening, you may be 32,000 feet above the ground and you may be traveling at 600 miles an hour. There's lots happening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God isn't at work. Stay steady because if you don't, you never get the roots built that you need to. Stick with your wife. And I thought, that's it. Anna and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary this last summer. And now when young pastors will come and say, Wayne, what's the key, like the new hope? I just, stick with your wife. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord and what season you're in or what happened in the past, but can I just take you from today? Just from today now. Don't say, well, I can't because, no. Starting today, here it is. Let's talk about a season of steadiness and steadfastness into the future. And when you hit those 18 miles of stretch, everything that God has taught you, all the basics, you need to execute them perfectly. Just stay with it. Just stay steady. What are all the basics then that I've been taught so that I execute perfectly again and again and just stay the course? Because you don't need new, spectacular, novel things happening. It's easy to get distracted. And that's when the enemy puts all these distractions next to you because nothing's happening when tons is happening. How do you focus in on the basics and execute them again and again and again and stay steady for those 18 miles of stretch so that there's a depth built, formed inside of you? What are some of those basics that we concentrate on? Let me give you four. And would you write them in your notes? The first, in a season of steadiness, focus on and practice a personal relationship with God. Make sure that your personal relationship with God is good. Which means that you and Jesus need to be okay. And you have to have enough identity that if it were just you and Jesus, you'd be all right. You have to be satisfied and you have to be content and you have to be secure if it's just you and Jesus. Because if everything else were taken away, whoom, and it's just to you and Jesus, would that be enough? You know, for a lot of years, I'd have to admit, for me, it wasn't enough. It had to be me, Jesus, plus more this, more that, bigger this, bigger that, more this, more that. Then I can say, oh, God bless me with all of these things. But if you took those things away, I don't know what I'd do. I'd be lost and devastated because for me, Jesus wasn't enough. And the Lord spoke to my heart one day and said, I should be. That you and Jesus should be enough. And so you know what God has to do sometimes? He has to wean us off of all of the other things that we think we're getting life from. Because for a lot of years, my identity was hooked to what I did. What I did was synonymous with who I was. And so you take away the job or the ministry or whatever it might be, all of a sudden I'm lost, I'm nothing. The Lord is saying, no, I got to wean you off of these so that you and Jesus are fine. And once that happens, when you say, yeah, I don't need this or need that or need this, it's tough, Lord, but it's okay. You and I are fine. And it's you're enough. Then the Lord says, good, now I can add this and this and this and this. And you won't try to draw life from them because your life comes from me and me alone. And then if this is removed, it's like no big deal. If that's removed, it's no big deal. And I add, it won't go to your head. if I take away, it won't destroy your soul, because you and Jesus is enough. And so the first thing he has to do sometimes is prune. As I say and have said before, a lot of times we don't realize that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we got. And once we're okay with that and we have a personal relationship with God that's strong, God says, now I can add and you'll be okay and it won't destroy you and won't go to your head. And that's why it's so important for us to have a strong personal relationship with Jesus. If we are just living off of what people say and always concerned about that, then if they say good things, we're happy. But if they don't, what happens? We're devastated. The Lord is saying, I need to wean you off of depending on what people think so that you, here it is, the most important thing about you is what Jesus is saying about you. And then what people say, that's secondary. Oh, I'm concerned because I am communicating and I want to make sure I'm communicating what's best. And if people are receiving stuff that's not what I'm communicating, I want to change the way I communicate things so it's accurate communication. But I don't live off of what people say. I live off of what he says. And there's now comes a security, a sense of assurance and confidence in God. And so one of the things in a season of steadiness, is, am I doing okay with Jesus? If everything were taken away, am I okay? Make sure that that's strong. Work on that. Let's read what the scripture says under that point number one there. Go. But I am afraid that lest as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Yeah, would you underline simplicity and purity? If you flip those words around, you know what God is saying? I want your devotion with me to be pure and simple. Pure and simple. The first is your devotion, your relationship with God. And what are some other basics during the season of steadiness that we need to really make sure that we're concentrating on and putting all our effort into doing the same, doing it right again and again and again, just staying steady. The second is, would you write down personal life disciplines? Your personal life disciplines. If you take a look at great concert pianists or great athletes, they do certain things again and again every day. Personal life disciplines. Some athletes might be doing crunches every day, a bunch of crunches, or a musician might do scales. A vocalist would do scales with his or her voice. And it's just a regimen they do every day. They're just personal disciplines. And it pays huge dividends in their life. And that's what God is saying to you and me. Oh, but there's nothing happening. There's tons happening. And stay the course and look at your personal life disciplines. Let's read 2 Corinthians together. Go. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are... Yeah, he says there's things happening that you can't see and it's eternal. And as you stay with your personal life disciplines, you'll be able to last the long run and go through a season of steadiness. And character qualities will be built. And this next season will be one of the most fruitful that you'll ever have seen. Well, what are some of those personal life disciplines? Would you write in your first bullet? Here's the first one. Daily devotions. On the other side of your page, daily devotions. Some of you are in a season of motherhood, single motherhood, fatherhood, single fatherhood. You're a child in a blended family, a child in a single family, a student, an adolescent, grandfather, grandmother, a single grandmother because of the loss of a loved one, single grandfather for the same reason. You're in a certain season and God may be saying, stay steady. And some of the personal life disciplines, one is your daily devotions. Why is that so important? Because everything that you're going to need for this season of your life to represent him well as an ambassador, and to stay steady will be found in getting, the more you get to know Jesus, the more he will release to you everything you're going to need for this season. It comes through getting to know Jesus.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled A Season of Steadfastness by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Celebrate Easter at New Hope Oahu, featuring special guest, Tarian. Services will be held on Saturday, April 8th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, April 9th at 7, 9:15, and 11:30 a.m. at our home at 290 Sand Island Access Road. Live Japanese, Chinese, and American Sign Language translations will be available at select services. Discover hope this Easter at New Hope Oahu. For more info, visit enewhope.org.